Welcome to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD. I'm your host and moderator, Troy Skinner. The Frederick Faith Debate is designed to be an open and honest forum for our local faith community leaders to share and discuss their views of the truth. Thomas Jefferson once said that the clash of ideas is the sound of freedom, and in that spirit, we will seriously wrestle with important ideas and might even disagree with one another. The hope is that through our wrestling, you will develop a better understanding of the truth about the most important issues that face us in this world. Today's show is brought to us by AllShred Mobile Document Destruction. They sell security. This week we're going to talk about diversity in the church, ethnic, racial, cultural, whatever, its importance, whether it should be sought after, if so, how, if not, why. And here to discuss that this week, our senior pastor of Maranatha Community Church of God, Jerry Price.
Good to be here with you again.
Thank you. And also the co-host and really star of Changing Your Life, also heard on WFMD.
We're having an exciting time.
And Yolanda Gamble, I apologize. I'm not sure why I want to say make it a soft day there, but Yolanda Gamble, the pastor of Shure Fellowship in Walkersville, and John Schweitzer, the pastor at Crossroads Valley Chapel in Frederick. Now, there's a particular reason why these folks have been chosen. One of the reasons I was particularly excited about having Pastor Jerry on today is because every time you meet Pastor Jerry, if you spend 10 minutes talking to him, at some point he'll find an excuse to bring up how proud he is of the diversity that is found at Maranatha. There's a rainbow coalition there. He loves the rainbow of colors and the rainbow of people that he sees, and he's really excited about that. And he has accomplished something in his congregation that you don't find at most churches. And then, when I had a chance to talk with Yolanda for the first time, that same idea came up as a focus for her ministry with her church. Right. And I thought, we really need to do a show on that. Yeah. And John, kicking and screaming, came along for the ride. No, I'm just kidding.
Yes, sir. Don't make me do
so,
it.
So I want to start with you, Pastor Jerry, about Maranatha.
Yes.
There is a rainbow of people that gather every Sunday for
Absolutely.
Worship.
Absolutely. We don't have any majority, actually. When you go in there, now to me it's normal. When I visit other places and I look out there and everybody's the same color, I'm uncomfortable. I'm much more comfortable with the type of church we have, and to me it's normal. I don't know why it would be anything but normal. I know that's not traditional. You've heard that the church is the most segregated place in the world, and it probably is true. But God has blessed us at Maranatha, and it's been that way. When I got there 26 and a half years ago, we had a few black families in the church. And it's not that we actually, and I've been asked that question, you know, how do you do this? But it's not that we actually just set out to do that. We just started loving on people. And when people found out that they could be loved for who they are, and I mean really who they are from the inside out, the word gets around. And people begin to feel comfortable being there.
Now, you anticipated my question, which is, you know, what did you do, if anything, to purposely make this happen? And apparently nothing. It just kind of organically occurred.
Well, I had pastors come from Baltimore one time to ask me that question. You know, how do you do this? How do you make this happen? And my first statement to them was actually a question. I said, well, there's one thing you have to do first. Do you really want all of these people in your church, or are you just looking for window dressing? Do you want the diversity? Do you really love those diversified people? And that's where it starts. It starts in the heart of the pastor. It starts in the heart whether he truly, mm-hmm. loves all people. And if he truly loves all people, they'll know it. And by the way, if you don't and you're just looking for window dressing, it won't work, because people can see through that.
Now, Yolanda, you have a younger congregation than Maranatha, which has been in Frederick for, I don't know, 50 years or
yes,
whatever,
about 50 years.
Whatever it is.
Right.
And But you have a similar dynamic taking place in your congregation?
I have a similar dynamic taking place. It started with our ministry through our educational program that I have spearheaded here in Frederick County for 4 years. Mm-hmm. Basically, what we did is search out the needs of the community and then design workshops and programs that would meet that need. In the community, there's diversity, as we would know it, and needs are just needs. And what kind of spearheaded that whole thing once we started a church, we really didn't even start it out of that idea of just the educational program. Just like Pastor Price was saying, is that we have a love and an open mind when it comes to people of all kinds. And just an interest in all the diverse cultures that are here in Frederick, and just a mind of acceptance, love that is very real, heartfelt. And when it really is real, people have a tendency of gravitating to you because they know whether or not you like them or dislike them. It's kind of like when you shake a hand, depending upon how you shake that hand, mm-hmm. determines whether or not you're accepting that person or not. So they know right off.
Now, the programs that you've put in place to meet these needs, was it also an additional motive to try to bring more diversity, or that just has happened by accident?
That really just happened because of the needs. Frederick County alone is a very single-parented region. There are many needs in the area of single parents, and that the color doesn't it really doesn't have anything to do with that need in this county. It just cross cultures and all of that. And so basically while we were out there, we found, since that's such a strong area of interest, that we could meet that need and it cross culture. That's how it worked.
I shouldn't need to ask this question. I think it says volumes that we would still ask this question, but it's the topic of what we're talking about, so I'm going to ask it. What sort of a racial mix would one find if they visited you this, you know, during your service this Sunday?
They would find Caucasian. They were going to find Asian, also Hispanic. There are Jamaicans. They don't like to be called black. I just want you all to know that. And, you know.
And there's prejudice in all forms.
That's right.
And I have,
that's right.
You know, Jamaicans in my church as
yes.
well. And there's some Jamaicans who don't like American yeah. blacks and
that's
vice
right.
versa. So you get prejudice all over the place.
Huh. All over the place.
You know,
that's right.
It's in the heart is where it's at.
That's where it is.
Yeah.
Now, John Schweitzer's church is probably maybe the youngest church represented on the panel today, and so maybe he hasn't had the chance to develop the kinds of diverse
yeah.
membership that's going on in these other churches. To my knowledge, I think it's pretty much all Caucasian.
It is, yeah, as a matter of fact.
Now, does that concern you at all? Are you going to put some sort of an affirmative action plan in place?
Yeah,
to try
John,
to
how about getting your act together here?
Or is it something that, you know, doesn't need to be worried about and whatever happens, happens? Or what do you think?
Well, again, I think it has to do with the heart of the pastor, and you minister out of who you are. And I guess my anticipation is that any and everybody that comes through the doors is going to be welcomed and loved and cared for. And so I guess my hope is that we will minister to what would be a representative group of people from Frederick County and the city of Frederick and the surrounding area. It's interesting, the church that I grew up in Montgomery County, just in the last 5 years has gone through a dramatic shift, whereas it tended to be previously quite a bit more Caucasian. Just in the last several years, they've kind of in their heart searched, well, who should we be reaching out to, mm-hmm. and specifically focused in on, you know, just people within a mile or, you know, 3 miles of the church building. And as a result, it has become an extremely diverse group with even some people coming that barely speak the language. And mm-hmm. and again, I think it always arises just out of your heart and what's most in your heart.
Let me remind you, just joining us, that you're listening to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD. That was the voice of John Schweitzer, pastor at Crossroad Valley Chapel. Before that, you heard Yolanda Gamble, pastor at Shure Fellowship in Walkersville, and Jerry Price, senior pastor at Maranatha Community Church of God in Frederick. All three of you made mention of the heart of the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for clarification, if I walk into a church and it's all white, should I assume that that pastor doesn't have a heart for different cultures and ethnic groups? Or is that not a fair assumption?
Well, I don't think it's quite a fair assumption because the change may come, but I think that might be the reason sometimes, truthfully, but not always. I have seen situations where pastors want to, now I'm not talking about John here. I believe he really loves people, and I believe just, that with all my heart.
Just beat up on me. I've got older brothers. I can take it.
But but I have seen situations, John and Yolanda. You all know.
Yeah.
Where a pastor says, "Well, let's invite more people of color and so forth and so on." You know, in our church we have people from 38 different nations, and so it's diversified all over.
Yeah.
But I've seen places where the pastors want people of color, but then there's a limit. There's just so far they can go. And what I mean by that, they're not allowed to take any prominent position in the church, such as a board, such as an elder, such as a staff person to be on staff. And I've seen people do that. I've seen them hold them back. You know, we want you to come, and we want you to sit in our pew, but we're not so sure we want to intermix a whole lot because of traditions of the past and problems of the past, and maybe interracial marriage becomes an issue. I've dealt with all of that.
I think I know the answer to this question, but can a Christian hold to that line of thinking? Is that a Christian? Well, they can.
Is it biblical?
Should a Christian hold that line of thinking? I guess.
No, it's not biblical, but Christians do. We and it's not just all one sided either. It's prejudice on both sides, on all sides. I just mentioned about Jamaicans and American blacks, and they have prejudice toward each other. There's all kinds of prejudice out there, and it has to be a change of the heart. I just had a leadership, I started a leadership class last night, and it was so interesting to me that when I went around the table and allowed the men to, talk about themselves, several of them mentioned, one of them is a Caucasian gentleman that is married to a black girl. And he told his story of how he came out of a church where there were black people there and different colors. But then one Sunday, the pastor got up and made a statement about he didn't believe that the two should marry.
Huh.
So again, there's and then a great problem, and this was a church of 5,000, and great problems began to develop at that point. But he sat there and he says, I came to Maranatha and I felt comfortable. I felt like I'm not looked at my color or her color.
Yeah.
We're looked at as people. And we're loved and appreciated. I marry people of different colors. Let's just be transparent here. I have a black son-in-law who's not a very good son-in-law right now. But he's.
I hope you're listening.
I hope he is too. I hope he is too. He needs to be more responsible.
Yeah.
And I have grandchildren that are mixed. But see, that's not my the ministry I had here. We were a rainbow church long before that happened.
Sure.
But people know me. They know my heart. But they also see it when I put a Pastor Wilson. You know Pastor Wilson.
Yes, I know.
Lovell Wilson, a wonderful man, yeah. And he became my right arm. And he's a black American, and he loves God. God sent him to me. He had a dream, a vision of working with a white pastor. And God brought him to me. He went through my discipleship school. He grew up in our church and became a leader. And then he became an elder. And then I pulled him on my side. I said, I'd like for you to be my staff person. And he's my executive pastor right now. And then I have other staff. And I have a mixed staff. But see, when you put these boundaries up, like that pastor made that announcement, then it's not. People read through that.
Yeah, they do.
It's got to be real or it's not real.
Right. Yolanda, growing up, did you go to church as a child?
I did. My father was a pastor.
And was it a quote-unquote black church?
It was a black church.
Was there anything in your view, looking back now, anything inherently wrong with that, or was it a comfortable fit?
I never was comfortable with it.
Really?
Growing up, never was. My dad didn't really so much. I don't think that he wasn't very verbal about it.
Mm-hmm.
We just learned to accept that's the way it was, because he loved all people, but we were in a more prominent black neighborhood, so it was more typical to have a black church. In Oklahoma, where I'm from, we had what we called it then, a black side of town and a white side of town, mm-hmm. and then there were Indians. Right. But that's kind of the way it was. But should we fellowship? We would fellowship with other races, but our church, no, it was a black church. And I want to just interject, if we're going to talk about diversity in the church, and we're going to be a diverse church, then we have to be diverse in our thinking. We have to be diverse in our presentations,
yes.
whether it be by music, by dance.
And by the way, it's a big challenge. When you get into diversity, it's not church as normal.
No, it isn't.
I tease our people, Yolanda, and you may have heard me say this when you used to come a couple years ago. And
He just wanted to interject that. He likes that.
Well, you're a good girl.
He likes that I was there.
we learned to love you a lot.
Yes,
you know,
I feel like
we're part of your ministry.
That's right, you are.
But, when where was I at? Now see, you threw me off.
That completely threw
I will
you
say
off.
That
I apologize.
Your son-in-law
that.
Oh, diversity. I used to get up.
Yolanda,
right.
But I used to get up. I'm talking about the challenge of diversity. There
yes,
is a big challenge
to it.
When you get into styles,
even in the
styles of music.
Yeah,
I get up all the time. I say, you know, it doesn't matter what we sing around here. Somebody's going to like it. But I don't say anything else.
And you hope that somebody's
but
God.
But we do. We have to. What I'm saying is, you know, there's so many different styles there. You can't do them all in one service.
You know,
so you have to give each other room a little bit.
This is what I want to speak to, because I think ultimately the diversity issue was created by God Himself when He divided the languages.
Oh, absolutely.
And as missionaries,
God loves diversity.
I mean, basically God said, look, we're going to divide and conquer. We're going to go after these one at a time. And He started with the nation of Israel. And then as in terms of missions, what He did was He sent Paul to the Greeks, and He sent Timothy out there towards – or Thomas out there towards Asia, in India. And the different apostles went different directions. And it seems to me that we always have this problem in the church. We're trying to reach people that are becoming more racist, not less racist. In general, people are going to tend to solidify and say, we've got the truth and other people do not. And it seems to me that that even denominationally, the splits that come between denominations are more culturally driven than they are theologically driven.
Absolutely.
And so, you know,
styles.
Country people tend to hang out with country music people. Rock and roll people hang out with rock and roll. Hip hop with hip hop. You know, and in the United States, we have really for one of the first times in the history of the world, a melting pot where there's the opportunity for there to be a culture, quote unquote, that could be, you know, include all the different nationalities. I was just at a retreat last weekend. And it was a large retreat center, and the largest group that was there, very exciting, a beautiful group, was a Korean group. And man, they had it going on, but they were pure 100% Korean. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed that here in the United States, specifically in the D.C. area, there's several huge Chinese or Korean congregations that, you know, they've found each other and they're comfortable with each other. And I don't know that that's necessarily wrong. If God is dividing and conquering, well, great, let's reach that. But ultimately, we're going to be brought to the place where we can be culturally diverse and hang out with one another and like one another and love one another. And I think that's the goal. But I think if the ideal has not been reached, we need to be careful to judge too quickly, I think.
Oh, absolutely. You can't do that. But again, the diversity also opens up a world of evangelism, because you're not limited to who you can attract and who you can witness to. I love the diversity because you're able to witness to all different types of people. And people are people. I guess it's just me. I've been that way since I was a kid. I love everybody.
How do you, for a church that is established, let's say has 150 members, which is, you know, a pretty good medium to smaller size average congregation probably throughout the county.
Well,
for,
the average,
for example,
is about,
right?
80, actually.
Okay, well, let's,
yeah,
say nationwide.
Average is 80.
Okay, so,
that's,
you know,
right.
80, 100, whatever,
yeah,
members. And
some average.
You have it. You're doing good, John. You go.
Because they were originally founded by somebody who came off a boat from Ireland,
mm-hmm,
let's say. So
well, that's true, by the way.
Right?
Yeah.
A lot of our churches, Church of God, came from Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
But their foundation was, you know, mm-hmm, or Switzerland, or, you know, a Dutch church or something. They're all going to be white because Northern Europeans are all Caucasian. They're all white. And they get established. Now they've got 80 members, 100 members, 120 mm-hmm members. And a person of color mm-hmm walks in and says, "Ooh, I'm the only one."
Mm-hmm.
That person might say, "I'm going to go find a place where I don't feel like an outsider or whatever." First of all, is that a problem? I'm not sure if it is or not. And if it is, what can be done about it? How can you make somebody feel comfortable when they're surrounded by somebody who's all people, everybody in the room is different than them?
I would just say find a common place when it comes to that person. I went to a particular church here in Frederick that was all white church. And I was just visiting. I was here, had just moved here. And I went in, I had a hat on, I looked good. I sat down.
As you do today as well.
Well, thank you very much.
I
sat
those
down.
Hats.
Yes, you remember some of those hats. I sat down in the only black there, no one, and the only one wearing a hat, just feeling a little bit out of place.
Well,
according
to Paul, you were probably more scriptural, wasn't she?
Right, I probably was. With the script, yeah, with the hat, it had to be covered.
Had the covering.
Right,
had
the covering on me. And so anyway, I was covered. But I sat there, went through the entire service, which was a beautiful service. I got a lot of looks, you know. Quite a few people were staring, looking over their shoulders, all
what
of that. That made
here?
Me feel a little bit more uncomfortable.
Not sure.
But after the service, several people came to me and greeted me and very warmly and asked me if I would come back, and that they enjoyed me being there. And they made me feel
that's
like
nice.
It was okay,
nice,
that I was there. And
right.
And because of that, I returned.
Sure.
And matter of fact, a few of the ladies said, "You know what? If you wear a hat the next time, you know, I'm going to wear my hat."
There you go.
And so we found a common place. That's how I started this whole thing. Find a common place. Find something that just really connects, even if it's the hat. And accept that person even at that level, even though we're a little different here and there, but there's some likeness about all of us. And when we find that place, I think that's what works.
Absolutely.
How do you
that's
feel about
good stuff.
That?
I have to totally agree. I read a book one time by a missiologist that broke down seven different ways that cultures tend to be different. Like, for example, time orientation. Some people want a 3-hour church service on a Sunday.
Right.
You know, and I know some people, they want that thing done in an hour. Come on, don't waste my time. Let's get to work.
Sure.
And or like another example would be how important is it that you plan what you're going to do as a church, as opposed to just be spirit-led and do things more spontaneously. Mm-hmm. And some people are all about sitting down and figuring out your goals and setting your objectives and taking, you know, planning out 5 years in advance. And other people are all about, you know what, we just need to minister by the power of the Spirit and go out and talk to people, whoever's out there. And I'm not saying that you can't have both and, but I'm saying that in general, these differences between cultures are oftentimes big enough that for now, the best thing to do is encourage people to find a church where they fit, because there is one out there. You know, and it says, it was interesting, it says in Revelation that on the final day, there'll be people from every tribe, every tongue, every language that are there. I thought it was interesting that it doesn't say in Revelation that they'll all speak the same tongue, but they'll be from different tongues. Somehow the cultures and the tongues aren't annihilated, but they're all represented when
that's
we get
I
there. And somehow
diversity.
It's beautiful yeah. that it, you know, and intends it to be that way. So, yeah.
Matter of fact, that scripture is found Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. I wrote it down in my little thing here. And it talks about John has the vision yeah. of a great multitude
yeah.
which no one could number.
Yeah, huge.
Wow, isn't that something? Of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white. Now, I like that clothed in white. All of them clothed in white. You know, because I have a certain style. You have a certain style. When you just all have white on, you just see the same people. You know, and that's what it's all about, huh?
It sure is. The diversity, we have it all over the world. And I agree with John there that sometimes you have to start where you are,
yeah.
Find a place where you're comfortable. But there's other people that are struggling because they haven't found a place they're comfortable. Mm-hmm. They don't feel accepted, so they look for a diversified church. So you have all of it.
Amen.
Most of it is to find Christ and let Him be Lord of your life.
That's right, and be strategically placed where God wants you to
be. That's absolutely.
That's what's important.
God has, we don't have time to talk about it, but vision. I think vision has something to do with it too. Whatever the vision of the church is,
that's so true.
That has a lot to do why people go to that church.
That's right.
Well, thank you all very much. Time is running short. It's interesting. Early in the half hour, Pastor Yolanda Gamble brought up that the diversity sprang from her church serving the needs of the community. And it's ironic that on next week's show, we'll be talking about the ways that churches should be serving the needs of the community. Again, thank you to Pastor Jerry Price from Maranatha Community Church of God, Yolanda Gamble from Shure Fellowship. She's the pastor there in Walkersville.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And John Schweitzer from Pastor Crossroads Valley Chapel in Frederick as well. And, of course, my name, I'm Troy Skinner. It's been my pleasure to sit here and moderate this very pleasant discourse.
Yes.
This time. Thanks for listening to this week's edition of the Frederick Faith Debate. We'll be back again next week. If you're a local faith community leader and no one would like to participate, please email me at troyskinner@clearchannel.com. Thanks again, and God bless.